Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Trying to maintain positivity here on a Friday, however...
Oh, yeah. Don't do this to me. I just started drinking.
Seth?
Oh, I thought the week was over. I did my normal, like, hey, have my first swig of a drink at 9 a.m. on a Friday. Oh, what is it? Do I have to work now?
No. Well, if you define work as, you know, who knows how much longer we'll be coming up with baseball topics for.
Oh, no.
Positive coronavirus tests with the St. Louis Cardinals.
How many?
Have postponed their game against the Milwaukee Brewers, a source tells ESPN, confirming the report by John Heyman was the first on this. Unclear how many, but to this point, positives had been limited to teams in the East, now in the Central as well. I believe St. Louis was in Minnesota. The Cardinals were in Minnesota this week. So, you know, now we know that from having watched the Miami Marlins saga play out, the MO with that was to, after watching the entire clubhouse blaze in a bonfire of COVID, was to shut down the Marlins for a week, shut down the team they were playing, the Phillies, for a week. It affected the Yankees and the Orioles, who were the opponents of both of those teams. Now you have the Cardinals, who are getting shut down. I would assume the Brewers are now going to get treated like the Phillies. And so yeah, this... Unfortunately, one of the I think silver linings, I guess, maybe coming out of the Marlins thing was, well, they seem to be the only team that was super infected by this. A couple positives with the Phillies, but the players had all tested negative through a couple of days. And hey, maybe we'll learn something from this, that if it ever happens again, we'll learn how to better contact trace and contain it and encourage guys. Well, we make it another opportunity to do that here with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah. It's just weird when you start looking at the standings now, too. For one, it's strange to be in July and see all these standings where, hey, the Braves are at 4-3 right
now.
3-3,
I know.
This is honestly, this is the first time I've looked at the standings in a week. Yeah. I'm so disoriented by everything, and because you're playing this West Coast exclusive schedule, I kind of had just even forgotten about the actual standard standings. You know, because they have so little bearing on the current schedule or anything. But it is strange when you look at the NL East and see, oh, everybody else has 6 or 7 games in their standings right now, except for the Phillies, who are 1-2, and the Marlins were Sean, the Marlins are leading the NL East based on winning percentage.
See, I think they should just pack it in.
Right. Yeah.
They went and got the coronavirus. They're like, guys, look, our winning percentage is never going to be this high ever again. Let's just go ahead and get the coronavirus and hope that they base it on winning percentage. No chance anybody has a .667 winning percentage.
And look, we're like, you know, depending on whether you played 6 or 7 games so far, we are about, what, like 12, anywhere between 10 and 13% done with the entire season.
Right.
And so that's where we are. We're at 667. This is the equivalent of winning over 100 games. Good job, Marlins. Congratulations.
Okay, so we watched this thing play out with the Marlins, Seth. And what my fear is, what happened with the Marlins was, okay, well, it's 4 players and you contain them and, you know, then... And then they actually stay in Philadelphia, do some hardcore testing, and then there's like another dozen people, coaches and players, who have this thing. I don't want to be gloom and doom guy like, oh, crap, the season's going to get canceled over this. This Cardinal thing could be something much smaller than the Marlins. Hell, it's hard to be bigger than what the Marlins outbreak wound up being, I think. But for the first week of the season, like, man, this is not what I wanted in the first week of the season at all.
Well, with the Marlins, I think the big shock of it was how can you're the first one to have anybody of note test positive since the game started playing. And it's not just 1 or 2. You have a damn outbreak.
Yeah.
Like, could we not at least dip our toe into the water with this?
Yeah.
Do we have to go full bore into it? And that's what shocked everybody into reality. The story about Brendan Bielak and what it was like for him in his first appearance in Major League Baseball is the one where it really drove home, man, how hard it's going to be to control everything surrounding all these guys. And there was no bad story with Bielak. It was awesome. He played well. But his fiance or his wife, I can't remember, she wanted to come see him. Even if she couldn't watch the game, she just wanted to be in the same city as him. But she couldn't because, she would have had to take a test before she got on the plane, after she got off, wait a certain amount of time. That's just one player on one baseball team that had this one scenario that he had to be careful about because they had to follow the protocol. Like, how on earth are you going to extrapolate that across 1,000 players who all have their own fiancés or wives or side pieces, children who are visiting the parent who has custody, like all that stuff? I don't know how you're inevitably going to have a few scenarios like this. It really comes down to how well can they limit it within the clubhouse once somebody brings it back.
Yeah, I think, Seth, as I look at this Cardinals story, and again, if you're just tuning in, the Cardinals have had some positive coronavirus tests. We don't know how many. We don't know with whom. We don't know if it's coaches, players, both, the whole nine yards. We don't know that yet. All we know is there have been positive tests with the Cardinals, and their game against Milwaukee tonight has been canceled. So when this Miami story came out, Seth, there were reports from Bob Nightingale of USA Today of the Marlin players out on the town in Atlanta during their last couple preseason games, their last couple exhibition games. And so it was infuriating to hear that. Like, this is really selfish, and that's some severe jackassery. And, if I had to pick a team that would do that, it would be the Marlins because they're a terrible franchise. The Cardinals, in terms of the image of the franchise, as annoying as Tony La Russa was through the years and as big a rival as they were for the Astros back when the Astros were in the NL, is one of the blue blood franchises in baseball. That would seem to be the opposite of a franchise that would treat the game and treat other teams with such disrespect. You know, we always hear Cardinal fans are the smartest, best home fans in baseball. They're like the Nebraska fans in football, that kind of thing.
The Cardinals hardly ever hack into another team's computer
yes,
database.
Thank you.
Hardly ever.
I say it somewhat sarcastically because it's folly, but I'm going somewhere with this. I don't know what I want to hear may have caused this with the Cardinals, because on the one hand, if we hear that the Cardinals had players out in Minnesota or when they were on the road, because they were on the road this week, then I'm going to be just as infuriated, if not more so, that the Cardinals, a team that, unlike the Marlins, are at least on the fringe of contending for something as opposed to the Marlins, who are barely a Triple-A team. I'm going to be mad, but at least with that, there's an explanation. I think I'm going to be more worried if there's 4 or 5 Cardinals that have the coronavirus and they go, we've been doing everything we're supposed to do. We stayed at the hotel. We sequestered. We quarantined. We went straight from the plane to the hotel, straight from the hotel to the clubhouse. We social distanced in the dugout, all those things that the Astros have been a little shoddy at doing, quite honestly. That's going to worry me more. I need to know more about, A, how they got it, and B, obviously, is it just one player or is it 8 players, that kind of thing.
Well, and that's where, look, there's 400,000 things you could have done differently or better at any part of this last 4 months for all of us. I'm not criticizing baseball. I will say I kind of wish there had been some kind of incentive system worked into the COVID testing. Like, you obviously, sometimes some people are going to contract it through no fault of their own. But if there had been bonuses worked into, or really convert some of your salary into bonus just for testing positive, just to create some incentive for being careful away from it. And then also some kind of punishment for, look, if a player ends up on the COVID list, and if a player ends up on the COVID list, they get paid still. And that's fair, right? That's not their fault. Unless maybe if you prove or there's evidence that he did violate the rules or something, then go ahead and just dock his salary. And that's the end of it. I've gone from optimistic to pessimistic just in 5 minutes now, Sean.
Okay, well,
and now I got to stop drinking.
Okay, two things.
It'll be a downward spiral for the rest of the game.
Two things real quick. The NFL is doing exactly what you just said. I mean, they have a list of things, what they're calling high-risk activities, bars, restaurants with more than 15 people, any gathering with more than 15 people, any church service that's more than 25% capacity. Seth, if a player gets caught going to those places, they're going to get fined. If they get caught going to those places and the NFL is somehow able to tie a positive test to their going to that place, they can dock them pay. They can void guarantees in their contract. So the NFL is doing these things already. My fear, and I said this from the get-go, is that these sports, baseball and football, might need to go to a mini bubble. They might need to do something here where the play, sorry, if you want to play and you want to make your salary, here's the hotel we're staying at, and here are the times the shuttle buses are leaving. And well, we're going and back and forth to the stadium to the hotel, and that's it.
That's where, and again, I don't think the unions would have ever allowed this, but it just
might be the only way.
On a pure pragmatic level, even if you can't practically or financially have a bubble for all these individual NFL teams, they do have this body tracking technology, you know, where, look, does it feel like you're in under house arrest? Sure, but that's how you get the season played. They're wearing this body tracking technology around the facility so that they can figure out, okay, if somebody tests positive, who's been closest to them, how do we get this done as soon as possible? If the players would have agreed to just wearing those things home and monitor it then, you know, and that if you basically break house arrest, you're getting fined or you're not getting salary, you're getting suspended that week, then so be it. I feel like that's a sacrifice they could have made, because how different is that anyhow than just being in the NBA bubble where you actually are under house arrest?
Yeah.
It's just that you're doing it in a different circumstance.
It's the weirdest thing now, Seth, because, well, look, I just wanted sports back so I could root for my team and root against other teams in baseball. Now, in tandem with rooting for the Astros to win baseball games, I'm now left rooting for the Minnesota Twins to not have any coronavirus cases. That's the team that played the Cardinals the other night. I am sitting on pins and needles waiting to see if the Phillies continue to have negative tests from their players. They actually had a couple positives from a clubhouse attendant and one other employee yesterday. Still no positives that we know of from the Phillies players who shared a field with a bunch of infected Marlin players over the weekend. But honestly, Seth, like if you're telling me, would you rather have the Astros win the game tonight against the Angels or get a tweet back that says the Phillies are still all clear from the COVID and all the Twins tests came back negative, I'll sacrifice a game or two of the Astros to get negative coronavirus tests so that the damn sport just stays on the field. That's where I'm at this point with it.
And I guess the news that's pertinent to this or relevant to this, that if you haven't seen or heard us talk about it yet this morning, in making up some of these games, Major League Baseball is trying to get out in front of the problem, and they've said that they're going to have seven-inning doubleheaders when they need to have doubleheaders this year.
Yeah.
So you can save four relievers on any given day at least by having these seven-inning games on doubleheaders. And is that gimmicky? Is that weird? Is that asterisky? Of course it is, but I'm all for it at this point. If it gets me a game result, give me a couple of box scores and I'm happy.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So the latest news, the Cardinals, the latest team to contract the coronavirus. So we'll keep an eye on that. Their game canceled tonight. It was going to be the Milwaukee Brewers home opener canceled tonight. So,
we'll you know keep- what? I say that. Sorry, go ahead. Well,
no,
I say
no,
that
no.
About the four relievers. I'm just still thinking in my head. I started thinking about the piggyback system, where then I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to have a couple of double headers, then you can actually have your starting pitcher, if it's going to be a seven-inning game, have your starting pitcher go four innings, yank him, piggyback him with somebody else, and, you know, a long reliever.
Yeah,
we're good to go.
Keep in mind, they're only seven-inning games, but it's at least a 14-inning day, you know? So it's a 14-inning day of baseball if they do those double headers. All right, there is at least one more change I want to see baseball make with everything that's going on surrounding the game. Also, what did we think of the NBA's presentation last night? We will hit that next. Kane and Pendergast with you. All right, so Seth, how many teams are sitting out action in MLB today because of either being directly or indirectly touched by the coronavirus here?
Let's see. On ESPN.com, that brings the number of teams being held out of action on Friday to six.
Six, okay.
As the Brewers and Cardinals will join the Marlins, the Phillies, the Nationals, and the Toronto Blue Jays.
Who are the Twins supposed to play tonight? I wonder if that game's going to get shut down.
Yeah, good call.
Because the Cardinals played the Twins are basically the equivalent in this story to what the Phillies were to the Marlins. Like, that's who shared a field with the Cardinals a couple of nights ago. So
they're supposed to be playing the Indians tonight.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on that. But
soon to be the Cleveland baseball team.
Soon enough.
Indians, actually, I'm curious about that one because, not that we want to get into this whole topic right this moment, but as far as, like, Redskins is a clear, I like when I was 10 years old, I heard the name of the Washington Redskins and thought, wait a second, that doesn't sound right at all. That's right. That's a weird name to have versus whether it's, you know, Indians or the Seminoles or anything like that.
Rage.
I think there's a more credible argument that, okay, look, kind of paying homage to the past, even if when the Cleveland Indians were named, that people didn't have the same attitudes towards Native Americans that they do now, and perhaps they weren't as tolerant. It's easy to kind of repurpose that and to say, like, yeah, like we'll honor the, you know, the local Indian Native American tribes and all that stuff. Versus like Redskins is just it's Redskins.
Yeah.
It's an awful name to call somebody.
They've gone the complete opposite end of the spectrum by naming it essentially a generic product.
It's the equivalent
of going to the grocery store and buying that butter that just says butter on the side of it.
Right. And as far as like whether it's Native American versus Indian, I think this varies by locale and whatnot. Just where I grew up, the Native American guys that I knew just were cool with saying Indian, and I know currently are near some of the nations that I know. So I don't really have an opinion about that. Anyway,
so the union and the owners, as you mentioned in the previous segment, have agreed to, or they're about to agree to, if they haven't yet, to stage 7-inning doubleheaders. They're going to have to schedule a whole lot more of them. This is starting tomorrow, August 1st, so we could see some 7-inning game doubleheader, so 14 innings total, plus if there's extra innings. Seth, one other thing that they need to do that they've talked about doing, but I was quite honestly shocked when I heard when they came to the agreement or Manfred mandated that the two sides come back, that one of the things that they were doing was ramping the size of the roster back down to 26 within the first month of the season. I was floored by that, knowing how short the season was going to be, how just probably ill-prepared physically these guys were going to be, especially pitchers with their arms. I mean, you're asking these guys to prepare themselves in a way that completely it's a complete contrary of how they've done it in previous years with a huge hiatus and then a quick 3-week ramp up. The rule was going to be that they start the season with 30 players and then after 2 weeks down to 28 and then after 2 weeks more down to 26 and you're 26 the rest of the year. Thankfully, it seems like sanity is going to set in and they're just going to leave it at 30 for the rest of the year. And I think I'm guessing they looked around baseball and saw not only coronavirus issues, but serious arm issues, arm discomfort with pitchers around the league who are not used to being used the way that they're used.
Right. Yeah. The injury bug, it's not even a bug. It feels weird to call anything a bug when the corona bug is the one that we're most concerned about. I expected that to be revised. That's one of those things where there's certain things that happen, you know, either in society or sports over these last few months where you realize, okay, any measure that anybody takes right this moment is a let's see how it goes measure.
Yeah.
And that everything is going to be shifting and changing. You know, like anybody listening right now has probably had their company policy towards obviously working from home, what things do you need to be in person for? Like all these different policies are constantly shifting and changing.
Yeah.
So I think they'll stick and move when it comes to that. I think where maybe they were perhaps more optimistic or had their head in the sand a little bit was when they were talking about reducing roster sizes over time. I think they thought that, like, yeah, you know, we'll get a feel for it and then we'll have everything nailed down a few weeks into this and then we'll just roll right along. There's none of that. Until there's a vaccine, you're never going to have this completely bottled up and under control.
Text message with the NFL and MLB. I don't know why they don't bubble all the teams at their home stadium and only leave to travel. You can't do it at the home stadium just because they don't have the facility. It's not like there's a dorm built into every stadium. But if what you mean, Texter, is home stadium with a nearby hotel, you know, essentially the team just rents out the hotel for 4 months. Yeah, I mean, I've been advocating for that for a while now.
And I wonder if the NFL has that as a contingency plan. The NFL has played this pretty close to the vest. Remember how we were all starting to panic a little bit because there was no agreement and the players hadn't even been told. I don't think that was posturing by the players. The players hadn't been told anything by the NFL just a few days before camp. Then lo and behold, what you find out is, okay, the NFL has a plan. They informed the NFLPA of it, and it seemed like everything worked out pretty quickly. I don't think the NFL wants us, the public, to know that they've got like a break glass in case of emergency because they don't want to talk about how there might be an emergency. I would imagine that if they get a few games into this and they don't feel like they have it locked up, that they'll figure out a way to go to a miniature bubbles. And because also there's a financial aspect and component to this too. They're taking a hit. They're going to have about half the revenue that they typically do. I think they want to do whatever is the most effective yet most cost effective method as well, and not spend any money they don't have to spend until it gets to that point.
Yeah, and look, it's just about the numbers. I think they need to prevent this spread because guys are going to die in the clubhouse with the coronavirus. Like I think it's just the sheer optics and numbers of coronavirus is going to reach a point where the sports are going to have to make some really tough decisions. And selfishly, I want sports. That's why I said in the previous segment, I'm looking at Twitter today, I am rooting as hard for the Phillies and the Twins and these teams that brushed up against the teams that had the coronavirus. I am rooting as hard for these teams to have fully negative COVID sheets as I am for the Astros to win baseball games right now.
Let me ask you this. Has any of these recent occurrences in baseball, have any of these occurrences made you feel like the attendance expectations are going to be revised downward? Are we going to have any people watching football games, I guess? If the Texans so far have said it's going to be limited to 14,000, right? Do you think that's even going to happen, or do you think we start the season with zero fans in attendance?
I think you start with zero fans in attendance, Seth, and I think it's because even if this doesn't stand up to epidemiology, even if an epidemiologist were sitting here and saying, you can still do 14,000 as long as they're distanced far enough away from the players, blah, blah, blah. You have got to, this is why I brought up Hard Knocks with Mark, and I'm like, I cannot believe they're going to let NFL Films camera people have this type of access. You have got to have the least number of people not even near the players, near somebody who could potentially get in touch with somebody who touches a player. You've got to keep mankind 6 degrees away from all the players and coaches.
And this is the thing. Look, you're the NFL. You get 10 times the scrutiny anytime anything bad happens, right? That's just the way it goes because you're the alpha dog. You're the biggest thing that the country cares about. So whenever they do anything bad or even like make an honest mistake, they get crushed for it. All it's going to take is one fan at one game to get sick, seriously ill, and potentially die from it, and the NFL is going to get a whole lot of blowback from that. And I'm going to bring this name up not as a way to politicize anything or to make any case about it. I would just say, like, look at what's happening with Herman Cain right now. It's very, very notable, and a whole lot of arguments get made one way or the other about it, and it takes what's a tragedy, which is one person's individual life being lost, and it becomes a whole lot more than that. I don't think the NFL needs that kind of heat right now.
Yeah, so that's, the NFL, we'll see. Look, and this goes into what we'll talk about in the next segment, Seth, but I think that should be a question for Bill O'Brien, and maybe even more so Jack Easterby today, given how instrumental Easterby's reportedly been to some of these protocols behind the scenes, some of the changes that have been made over at NRG Stadium to keep everybody safer over there. Is do they go with what is maybe not the ultimate safety, because there's no such thing amidst this stuff, but something that to me is going to be a much safer solution, which is mini bubble these guys. Seth, if they mini bubble, and by mini bubble, I mean just they go to the stadium and a hotel and that's it. And they've got security making sure guys aren't leaving the hotel, the whole nine yards. If they do that, what do you think the uptick will be in number of guys who opt out of the season?
Oh, that's a great question, because there are guys, and remember, when you opt out, you get paid a smaller amount this year, but it's an advance on your salary, but you do get that this current year of your salary just kind of kicks over to the next season. So guys can opt out, and a lot of them presumably will still be getting paid next year. I bet it's an uptick. I bet a lot of them would say, like, my wife's expecting in 3 months for the first time. My dad is sick, and I wanted to be around him as much as possible, because he's getting up in years, whatever it might be. I bet that would be an uptick.
Yeah.
Boy, personally, Sean, if I had the opportunity to be in a bubble for 4 or 5 months, oh my gosh, I'd love that. I would just be so happy. I'd get so much reading done.
Especially if you get all the same amenities the NBA players are getting. My guess is there'll be some NBA players that don't want to go home. They're like, I love this, Bubba. Are you kidding me? I get free Mortons all the time. I get video games. I get somebody cleaning my room, and this is awesome.
Don't get me wrong. I want to see my wife, obviously. You know, we'll have the conjugal visit trailer.
Right.
And the NFL will say, like, well, Seth, actually, we can get her own room. And I'm like, no. I'm not doing this unless I get a trailer.
Right.
And it's got to be like a prison trailer, too. Don't give me one fancy one. I got to play out this fantasy.
With a gigantic picture of your face on the side of it.
Yeah, that's just the Seth Payne.
It's the Seth Payne. If this trailer's a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
Donate some money to a prison just to get the conjugal visit trailer named after me.
Real quick, Orlovsky throws this idea out. How about 10 small bubbles? Two in the Northeast, two in the Southeast, two in the South, two in the Midwest, two in the West. Find ways to make it happen. Cost would be under $15 million per team. I don't know where Dan comes
where
up with that number.
Did he do the math on the back of a napkin?
Dan Orlovsky is so smart that I feel like he's at the stage now where he can just throw stuff out there and people are like, hey, look, Dan Orlovsky said.
I'm not buying for a hot second that that's $15 million per team.
I am texting him and finding out where he's getting the $15 million from now.
So he's saying that you could do that whole bubble for $150 million. Maybe he's basing that on however much the NBA paid to have. How many teams are in the bubble there in the NBA?
22.
But it's extra people. I honestly, with the NFL, with the amount of people that have to travel and to actually or need to be around a football team with a support staff, I think it's probably a lot more economically feasible to have a miniature bubble in each city.
Yes.
And then you fly in the night before, you stay at a hotel. You've already got the NFL, and I've told you this before, Sean, when you travel as an NFL team, it's virtually a bubble already. Guys only have, under normal circumstances, you get to an away city on Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, sometimes Saturday evening. You've got a few hours at most before you have meetings, curfew, all of that stuff. It's pretty easy to maintain a bubble as you travel, so I don't think that's necessary.
I think it's more sellable, too, to anybody who would think of opting out over a mini bubble if it's in the city, because then in case of emergency, you're nimble. You're 10 minutes from home, whatever the case may be. All right. Up next, I want to talk about what we want to hear from O'Brien and Easterby, Watson and Watt, too, tomorrow. Seth, I put a poll up earlier today, though, of all the four major sports here in town. I'm adding MLS in with the other three. Which one are people most excited here in Houston to be getting back? We'll see what the people had to say next. All right, it is Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. Seth, I put a poll up this morning just because basketball coming back tonight for Rocket fans. We're a week into the Astros season. There's already been a lot of sauce for six games so far with the Joe Kelly stuff and The Verlander news was depressing, but it was big news. You know, it's given us a lot to talk about.
Well, rookie pitchers playing their asses off now. The rookie pitchers for the Astros with a sub 2.0 ERA, and that's something that hopefully there's just a natural tendency to fixate on the negative right now and all the worry. But there is some reason for excitement, and Christian Javier, perhaps future star for the Astros.
Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons to be excited, and of course, the NFL sits on the horizon. So I was just curious this morning, and I put up a poll, and I said, simple one for Houstonians, which is why the NHL is not a choice. I made that clear because I knew I'd get those replies. What about hockey? Which pro league are you most excited about returning? NFL, MLB, NBA, and the MLS, which we know has been back for a little while now. What do you think the winner was?
Let's see. I know that there's I know people always claim to hate the Texans. That's always the interesting one.
About 800 votes, by the way. About 800.
What's that?
About 800 votes. Yeah.
So they always claim to hate the Texans, but then they still show up. It's like a girl that claims that she's done with you, and they're like, but call me. I'm done with you forever. Call me, please. I would say that because of that. Which sport are they most excited about the return of? Yeah. The Astros. The Astros are still the darlings.
The Astros finished second in the poll, 32% of the vote. Yeah, the Texans still garnered 50% of the vote. I'm a little surprised because of where the poll was. It's on Twitter. And I will say that when I tweet about the Astros, more than any of the other sports or other teams, those are the tweets that get the most traction, the most retweets and likes. And I'm not out there, like, I don't judge the quality of my life based on how people like my tweets. But it's a gauge, I think, for what engages people. You know, what people are taken in by, and Twitter's a very small sliver of the universe. I understand that. And I think if you were to poll the city at large outside of a pool of social media, I think the NFL might win by an even bigger margin than the margin they won here, which was 50 to 32 for baseball, to 16 for the NBA, to 2% for the MLS. I'm not surprised by that order.
It's interesting in Houston. Obviously, a championship matters a whole lot, you know, in terms of the popularity of a team within a city. Obviously, that's going to matter. It does seem like Houston. It seems like Houston, more so than a lot of cities, can maybe flip the switch back and forth between being either a baseball or a football city.
Yep.
It's some places will win a championship in baseball, and it's still all they really genuinely care about is the football team. Other places, it's flip-flops. Houston, I feel like there's a genuine kind of ambivalence about it.
Yeah. So 50% NFL, 32% baseball, 16% NBA, 2% MLS to the answer, or to the question, which pro league are you most excited about returning? And we will get basketball back tonight. What did you think of the what'd you think of the presentation of the games last night? How excited are you to watch the Rockets in terms of just the aesthetics and the presentation in particular? You know, just
I liked it. You know, there was a part of it. You know, the ambiance is going to be different. I think they did a pretty good job of at least trying to shrink the court so it didn't seem like you're in an empty arena. It still, though, looked like a bigger basketball court with smaller players on it because you don't have people pressed up into that intense environment like you do, which is fine. I'm not gonna crush them for that. There's nothing to be done about it. There was also a weird kind of almost like a gymnastics / communist party rally in the old Soviet Union feel to it. Because you had like the people, it almost felt like the VIP or the Politburo members sitting up front with ribbons and banners everywhere and everything. I couldn't quite place my finger on it.
Yeah.
But there was something that was unsettling about that part of it. Other than that, yeah, I was good with everything.
Yeah, I am too. Look, the presentation of it is not that important to me. I will say that the court itself and the lack of crowd near the court, you know, the benches being, you know, way off to the side. They're really not being a bench. It's more of a small section with social distancing going on. With the courts themselves, the sidelines, the baselines, having a lot of extra space there. For whatever reason, in the first game, Seth, it made it feel like they were playing a pickup game in a gym. And I almost feel like the players played the game with that sort of nonchalance to it as well in that first game. The second game was intense. Now, the second game felt like a real NBA game. And I think at the end of the day, that's all I really care about. The presentation of it is like 20% of the grade to me. To me, you know, 10% is, you know, the 20% is the presentation. 20% is, you know, making sure that the Rockets win. And then the other 60% is, am I as engaged in this thing as I would be in a normal NBA game? And that's how I found myself during that Clippers and Lakers game. It's like, okay, this is cool. Guys are bombing away. Guys are making plays. You can feel the intensity out there. They're arguing with the refs. It felt like an NBA game.
That's where
that's all I care
and I
about.
Think though, I think your first impression is going to be what a lot of the games are like. Because look, that is the NBA. The first quarter on into the third quarter, I don't want to say coasting because guys are playing hard and everything, but it's not like, you know, Ali Frazier or anything going out and just bombing away at each other. There's a little bit of a less energetic element to NBA games early on sometimes. And without the crowd there, it really sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see some of that. I am, you know what's amazing to me, Sean, that I'm always a little bit let down. This isn't the NBA's problem. It's just an infrastructure problem. When they're showing those fans up at the top. So for those of you that didn't see, they're streaming individual fans, making it look like they're at the game.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. It's a really cool concept. Except I keep getting distracted by various people glitching. Like you'll see that their screen is frozen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. Is our bandwidth issue are we still at this point? How are people glitching when you got this dedicated up for broadcast? I feel like we should be beyond that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a connection, dude. Yeah.
So
Rockets play tonight.
Oh yeah, of course. That's okay. No, but I'm glad you said that. That's because that's the individual fans' bandwidth issue. It's not the actual
Huh. Right.
Yeah. So then, like now, I feel like I'm criticizing people for not spending more on internet. I feel like the NBA should step up and get you the 1 gig package if they're going to be coming into your home and putting a camera on.
That's right. So today at 11 o'clock, so about an hour and 20 minutes from now, Bill O'Brien will be meeting with the media for the first time during training camp. Jack Easterby will be meeting with the media after Bill O'Brien, and tomorrow morning it'll be J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson meeting with the media. Four people that I think most Texan fans are very interested to hear from. Seth, of the four press conferences, which one are you most looking forward to?
You asked me this morning, and I said Jack Easterby, and I've decided I've changed my mind.
Change your mind. Okay.
Yes, I've changed my mind, and it's going to be Deshaun Watson. Mm. And it's going to be Deshaun Watson because of this. He's going to give us a couple little nuggets. He's not going to divulge anything, Sean, but I think we're going to try to read into a whole lot of what he says about his contract. I base that on his interview with Michael Vick, where he said, I don't want to misquote it. I'll paraphrase. What did he say? He said something like, I don't want to talk crazy, or I don't want to say there.
Yeah, when he was asked about his contract situation by Michael Vick.
Said,
I don't want to say anything crazy, is what he said.
Yeah, right. And then he kind of talked about the difference between the situation that Pat Mahomes is in versus the situation he's in here in Houston.
Right.
And you could, the comments he made, you could read multiple ways. Some people might listen to it and say, like, well, see, he's clearly saying that Andy Reid's a better coach than Bill O'Brien. Or he might be saying, well, all he is saying is that Pat Mahomes just won a Super Bowl. It's different. Whatever he was saying, you could tell that there was more to the picture than meets the eye. I'm hoping for a couple little nuggets like that. We got to compare notes between what does Bill O'Brien say about Deshaun's contract versus what does Deshaun Watson. Deshaun might get on camera in this press conference, in this Zoom conference, and say, hey, you know what? It's a weird year. Nobody knows what the cap's going to look like next year. We're just going to play it out. I'm not worried about it. And we're just going to play this season out. We'll see.
I bet. Okay. So if we not role play this thing, but if we try to predict what he's going to say, I'm going to say he completely delegates any answer to contract stuff to his agent. That's going to be his answer. He's like, that's why I have an agent. Right. You know, my agent and I have been talking, and that's what he's here to work on, or those things. I'm just focused on getting to know my new teammates and getting acclimated and trying to win games this season.
Well, one of the surprising things that happened with the Jamal Adams trade was how quickly Seattle and Jamal Adams, who had a very contentious go of it concerning his contract negotiations in New York, the Seahawks said, well, we're not going to be able to give him a new contract this year. And Jamal Adams said, yeah, it's cool. I'm good with it. We'll catch up next year. And I was like, oh, wow, this is new and this is good. And I wonder if maybe some other players will start following suit.
Hey, along those lines, do we know what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins' new contract that he was demanding back in February and March from the Texans?
Yeah. I'm going to hold. You know what, Bill O'Brien? You should have anticipated that there was going to be a worldwide virus outbreak and that it was going to affect contract negotiations and that DeAndre couldn't have demanded a new one.
Yeah. I just wonder, because I feel like DeAndre might have softened his stance once he got to Arizona. I feel like I may have read that somewhere. I'm not sure.
Well, they had talked about how they were having conversations and everything. It was, look, that's the trouble with talking about the DeAndre Hopkins situation. There were multiple factors. I don't know why it's in sports, it's the damnedest thing that people always want to be able to just point to one thing. They'll have huge arguments. Like something that clearly has at least three explanations. Two guys will argue in a bar for hours about whether, like, no, it was A. No, it was C. No, it was A. Like, oh, okay, yeah, it was A, B, and C.
Right, it was all of the above. Yeah, exactly. I would say of Watt and Watson, since you just said Watson is the one you're most looking forward to, I'll group both of them together in this one. I'm anxious to hear what their roles are, especially JJ, because he's the elder statesman in that locker room now, in policing the younger guys and making sure that what went on with the Marlins, and I know it's a different sport, but it's a similar concept, guys going to the office and then going home. What's their role in policing the younger guys and making sure that they're all doing the right things to make sure you got 80 guys who are in lockstep that we cannot be jeopardizing the season, you know, especially when right now 20 of them aren't going to make the team. You know what I mean?
We should ask JJ. We said, JJ, you've been around a long time now, damn near a decade.
Yeah.
And tell me, who's the jackass? Who's the guy? Who's the guy on this roster that we need to worry about the most? And we'll see if it gets.
Is there a guy you're worried about in particular? Or do you not want to put that on anybody right now?
Let's see. They haven't re-signed DJ Swearinger anytime
lately. No, or Jacoby Jones. Sure. They're in the they're in the Knucklehead Hall of Fame for the
Texans.
They're
in the all-time.
Yeah. The three guys who got caught smoking weed at the hotel in Kansas City. Like, for sure, Sam Montgomery would have spread the COVID by now. And Willie Jefferson and Sierra Wood.
I'm just trying to think of even amongst the draft picks. It's easy because there are only five of them. So, okay. Ross Blacklock is a local kid. Maybe he'd have more people pulling at him or tugging at him, but because he's a local kid, I feel like he knows that the 5-0 is out there all the time in terms of like the social media Gestapo.
Right.
One of his buddies from high school sees him out at a party. He's going to put him on blast because he loves his team. I don't think we have to worry about Ross Blacklock. Jonathan Greenard, likewise, I don't think you have to worry about him. All the reports about him is that he's super mature. John Reed was a computer science major in college at Penn State or something like that, right? Some kind of computer. Like, just in listening to, we actually talked to him after the draft, and then listening to some of the conversations with him, I think he'd rather be home playing video games and tinkering with technology than being out and subjecting himself to risk.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about him. Charlie Heck. Charlie Heck. This is what I worry about, Charlie Heck.
Okay.
He looks like a big, affable fellow that might actually be like almost too innocent for his own good.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody might, like he might get duped because of a Nigerian prince tells him that he needs his assistance next door or something.
He is a big, folksy, country strong guy. My fear with him is he would catch the COVID changing somebody's tire on the side of the road.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Like, howdy, ma'am. looks to me like you might have run over some sharp objects. Allow me to pick up this car with my bare hands, and then yourself a lug wrench inside that trunk right there. Mm-hmm. I feel like that could happen. What about Isaiah Coulter?
I'm pert near home already. He's got to throw in pert near. If you throw in pert near, then you know he's good wholesome.
I was just fixing to go to the stadium. I can be late to a meeting if I tell him I was fixing your tire, ma'am.
The other candidate would be Isaiah Coulter,
right.
You know, small school guy.
Yeah.
Didn't, you know, bright lights, big city. He's never been in an environment like this. Maybe all of a sudden it's too much for him and he just he freaks the hell out. And there he goes.
Little money in his pocket. He's running around town. Yeah.
I think Charlie Heck is the odds-on favorite to inadvertently bust it by being a pleasant, big, oafish fellow.
Yeah.
He's not oafish as a person, but that's a caricature I'm painting.
Yeah, big, goofy.
So, yeah,
big goofy country strong guy.
Everybody watch out for Charlie Heck, okay? Just look for him. If he looks lost on the side of the road or something, like, oh, golly shucks, there's so many streets around here. I've never seen such a sight.
Charlie Heck went from being a very kind, benevolent Samaritan to somebody we're worried about wandering into the wrong part of town because he doesn't know directions. In one segment, that's what happened to him. Landry is in here. Landry Locker in the loop. And Landry, it's always a great to see you and always a great day to discuss sports on the air.
I mean, 215 days. We haven't had two major teams play in 215 days.
Is that how long it's been since we've had two of our teams? When was the last time?
December 29th, the Texans lost to the Titans without their starters, and the Rockets lost the back end of a back-to-back against New Orleans without Harden and Westbrook. That's the last time we've had two major sporting events.
So that even barely counts. Because the best players weren't even playing in either of those games.
This is true.
Wow.
This is true.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so tonight is that night, and they start at the exact same time.
Yep, they do. Yeah.
Are you going to be split-screening? you'll be up here. You'll be... what?
I'm sorry, what? Landry. I got it. I'm looking at the text line. Landry knows the story of Pay Me Rick, correct?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Dante Robinson.
Dante Robinson on the kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you weren't here at the time, but I mean, that was a national story anyway.
Sure.
somebody's texted in, wouldn't it be great if Deshaun came out with a shirt on this Zoom conference that says, pay me, Bill?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
That would be delicious content. Please, please,
I wonder,
please.
I think he should do it just as a joke, kind of like as an homage to the history of the Texans. He knows the stories and everything,
right.
And it's just a good-hearted joke between Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson.
Right, right, right.
What if Bill gets on the Zoom call and it says, just sign the damn contract, Deshaun, on his T-shirt?
Yeah. Oh, so Landry, what's happening?
Not a lot. I actually want to present you guys with a nice little, I don't know what word you would use to describe this, but this
tedious.
This is,
I don't even know what you're talking
about. I think
about.
This is funny. I think it's kind of adorable. And I think it's a little bit outlandish. It's like all the emotions you can possibly have. And it's courtesy of John McClain. So media types are going to have to be tested before they go to NRG.
Yeah.
And John McClain was talking about, you know, the anticipation of being tested, COVID tested. And this is what he had to say earlier this week. I want you guys to describe, because this is heartwarming to me. And I almost laughed so hard I peed my pants. This is John McClain talking about the anticipation of being tested for COVID.
I found out yesterday that instead of the nasal swab that basically goes up into your brain, and I've been practicing with Q-tips, and I found
out
I do have a brain.
You're practicing?
We in here
I'm
talking about practice.
I told yesterday they don't do that anymore. It's still nasal swabs, but it's been perfected to a point where you don't have to stick it up there and make your eyes water. And I was kind of disappointed because I was
John. John, you're telling a joke right now. You're really practicing?
Not anymore.
You were really practicing for this. How did you prepare for your colonoscopy?
I called you to help me, and you never got
back. Oh boy,
you're the only person I know that might have volunteered.
That stinks.
I love this.
Not going to lie. That was a pretty good comeback by McClain. That was pretty good thinking on his feet.
Practicing, though.
Practicing.
Yeah, that's good. McClain's basically a Navy SEAL. I mean, just, you know, if you don't know, don't go. He's prepared for every mission. Can you imagine?
The Navy SEALs looking like McClain. The terrorists are just licking their chops.
Zero Dark 30, starring John McClane.
Here are the guys that need to tread water for 8 hours. Oh, I mean 8 seconds. Sorry. Oh, God.
You got 8 SEALs in their combat wetsuits treading water, looking towards the coast, and John's laying on his back doing a dead man's float with a pina colada on his belly.
We would literally be better off with actual SEALs defending our country, like SEALs that sit on the rocks in San Diego. We would be better off with that. So Landry, what's that was a great moment, the McClain moment that you just played right
crazy
there.
To me. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. So what's going on the show today?
Oh my gosh, what's not going on the show? We got a two-piece combo. Trevor Bauer has addressed the Astros. What he said might surprise you. Tyrann Mathieu says that Texans Chiefs could be a rivalry. I think he might be jumping the gun, but we'll hear from Tyrann Mathieu. We're going to hear from Easterby and Bill O'Brien at 11. We're playing bingo. We had a draft. We just finished our draft, so we each have 9 spots. What will be said in it? So okay. It'll be fun. Lot to get to today. Yeah. Lot.
Good Friday. No doubt about it. All right. Rockets and Astros tonight. So we get a little doubleheader of sports. We got O'Brien and Easterby at 11 o'clock today. Landry, you'll be on a little postgame tonight after the Astros game?
I will.
Yeah, baby. That postgame show is popping. All right. Seth, have a great weekend, my friend.
Have a great weekend. What do we need? Antibodies, T cells, and I don't know.
And negative COVID tests from around baseball. That's what we require.
Yeah, get yourself 21 shots of tequila.
There you go. Have a great weekend. Antibodies, T cells to all of you as well. Seth and I will be back 6 a.m. on Monday. We look forward to that again, 11 o'clock today. Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby. They jump in with their Zoom press conferences. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, they are up next. They are in the loop. Stay safe out there, everybody. We'll see you at 6 a.m. on Monday. I caught up with you yesterday. Mind if I unbutton your bra right now?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.